Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Celebrating the return of the fans, Mark is having a special for the first home game against Ball State. It is a two-for-one deal. You buy one RV for the weekend, you get a second one, you double the fun. Remember, this is where you drive your car to Happy Valley. Mark has an RV waiting for you for the weekend. The shuttle takes you to and from the game. Fantastic way to spend the weekend. If you want to know more about it, how about calling Mark at 800-519-8467. I'm Jim Galante along with Steve Pavlik. Steve is a big-time Penn State fan, a loyal listener to our show. I hope I'm not going too far out on a limb calling you a loyal listener, am I, Steve?
Listen all the time, every episode.
All right, that's the right answer. If you want to be on the show again ever, that was the right answer. We're talking about two of Steve's favorite topics when talking Penn State football, and that's been the quarterback play at Penn State and also the coaching. We started out talking quarterback. We're going to stick with that for another segment. We had talked about a little bit of Franklin's history with the quarterbacking, Hackenberg, then McSorley. Now let's bring in Sean Clifford. And first of all, there's no doubt, last year the guy underperformed. I expected a whole lot more from him. What did you expect last year? What did you see? And what do you think we're going to get this year, Steve?
I think you put it very politely to say it was an underperformance. Again, is about as nice a way you can put it. But that said, I think you probably saw a higher ceiling for Clifford than I ever did. Just going back to even the 2019 season, which appeared more promising. I mean, I start at the beginning where, who else was recruiting Clifford? It looked like he chose Penn State over West Virginia, Kentucky, Louisville, and Michigan State. Personally, as a fan, I'd like to see Penn State selecting quarterbacks with schools, that are ranked a little higher than those. I think the expectation for Clifford coming in was that he was a little bit more physically gifted, maybe a little taller than McSorley, maybe a little faster. But McSorley looked a lot more comfortable as a runner, I always thought, than Clifford ever did. And Clifford, when he runs, seems a little more indecisive. I think there have been some poor throws, to put it politely. Again, looking back to that Indiana game, and even in 2019, I was at that Maryland game because I'm here in D.C., and I was also at the Michigan game. And after that first half of the Michigan game in 2019, I thought he was more of a liability than an asset. And I think that's what you really saw transfer over into 2020. And so I'm sitting here now coming into this season questioning, is there much upside? Is there a real high ceiling? And if you just look in the division, okay, I think he's an average quarterback, because I would take the guys, any of the Ohio State's quarterbacks. I would take Indiana's quarterback, Penix, Maryland's quarterback, Tua, Michigan, we got McNamara, and they got the five-star guy coming in as McCarthy, I believe. I mean, that's probably a coin flip. So where's Clifford at? I mean, is he better than what the options are at Michigan State and Rutgers? Again, I just think we could do better than that at Penn State.
Couple things. Well, first of all, where I do agree, I believe McSorley was more athletic than Clifford. I don't think Clifford's a natural runner, but I also believe when you run, the zone read, you don't necessarily have to have a tremendous athlete at quarterback to run the ball. What you need is one who could make good decisions. And I think we saw a couple games where Sean Clifford, with the right read, he had a couple really big runs. Now, you may say, well, it was wide open, Jim, for him to get that 30, 40-yard run. Well, that's exactly the point. It was. So I don't think you necessarily have to be this tremendous runner, or tremendous athlete, maybe I should put it that way. What I'm concerned about, though, Steve, with Sean Clifford, some of the mistakes he's made, I've been calling them blunders. You brought up the Indiana game, and there was a pass, I think we all remember, it got returned for a touchdown, And the announcer initially said, oh, the defender jumped the route. No, he didn't. Sean Clifford's pass was that bad that it just went to the defender. When you see mistakes like that, I say, you know what? Sean Clifford's not really that bad. So when you see those kind of mistakes, is it a physical limitation? Or when I say blunder, is it correctable? Let me put it to you that way.
Well, there are two things that I've heard you guys mention on the show. One I agree with, and one I would just offer maybe a different perspective. And I think some of the things we've heard coming out in this offseason have been, Clifford really wants to, put last season behind him, and he's working really hard, and he really wants to be better. That sounds nice, but what we're not hearing is he doing anything tangible in practice to correct those mistakes? You don't hear any of the coaches, any of the players, saying anything that I would point to as tangible progress, other than just things that say, well, he really wants it. I mean, to me, that is concerning. And you guys have said that, and I agree with that. And I know you've mentioned that, one of the challenges that Clifford's had is that, this is going to be his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. And maybe that's sympathetic. I guess the way I look at it is we've already had two different offensive coordinators with him, and in my opinion, have not been able to get much success out of them. And so now we're having a third guy come in. And, Yurcich, by all accounts, he's a great quarterback coach. And, I'm hoping he's going to get something out of Sky. I'm hoping I'm wrong. But if this is the third guy, he can't be a miracle worker. If we have three different guys that have worked with Clifford and they haven't been able to really get tangible results there on the field, then maybe the guy's just not that good. And what concerns me is we start talking about there's no depth behind him. I sort of blame, again, going back to Franklin for that, where you know what you have. More importantly, you know what you don't have at the quarterback position. I know they've tried to address it in the transfer portal. We can talk about may or not why they haven't been successful there. But we're going to be looking at Clifford here for the next 2 years. And if he plays as poorly as he did last year, that's really going to hold this team back. And right now, there's some optimism here in the 2022 recruiting class. If it reverts to last year, I don't think all these guys are coming here in 2022. I don't. And that's what I'm concerned with.
Well, I do think they've got to show improvement, and I do believe that both the quarterbacks are pretty well committed for the 2022 class. So, that's another discussion, and we may be able to get there. One of the things you mentioned, and you sent me some of your notes with your thoughts, Steve, so I don't just know some of these numbers off the top of my head. I looked them up, okay?
So, I'm glad somebody read them.
Yes, I did. I did my homework. And I also did a little bit of research. What I find concerning sometimes is you mentioned, Ohio State has like three quarterbacks who were highly rated coming out of high school. My take is not all three of them are going to be stars. But you got three opportunities with a high ceiling. At least one of them is going to perform. But when you compare him to some of the other quarterbacks, and some of this, I realize it's the eyeball test. You mentioned like Michael Penix from Indiana. His statistics actually don't look so good up against Sean Clifford. Now, we all remember that last drive, and he performed when they really needed it. But I think there'd be a whole lot of different perspective if he was ruled just short on that two-point conversion. If you look at his overall rating for the season, that he's given a 136 rating. Clifford actually had a rating of 137. Now, I know there's a lot of different things that go into that, and there's the eyeball test. And the other one you give it, and people gave me hell last week for the way I pronounce Notre Dame. So I'm not even going to try and pronounce the Maryland quarterback's name except to say Tua's brother. Okay. Tua's brother had that monster game against Penn State where he looked fantastic. But do you realize, other than the Penn State game, this is a guy who had only 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions last year on the season. He really was not very good. So I think sometimes we have a small sample size or see what a quarterback did against Penn State, and I believe we overstate both Penix and Tua's brother.
I guess the only thing I would say maybe to that is I agree with everything that you said, but I guess who has a higher ceiling, and I think there's chances for guys like Penix and Tua where, they've, I think, demonstrated some capabilities. I mean, Penix is more of a stronger runner compared to Clifford. He probably doesn't have as nice of a supporting class to work with as Clifford. So the fact that they were that close, in terms of that metric, I'm not sure. I just think there's more upside there, particularly in an offense like we want to run here. And I would say the same probably with Tua. Again, I don't think that he had as strong of a supporting cast to work with as Clifford did. And the other thing I would add, sort of that concerns me about heading into this year, going back to 2009, back Darrell Clark, you remember Pat Devlin transferred out, and there was some concern about the lack of experience behind that. And then as a result, the offense was very conservative with Devlin. With Clark. They didn't want to run him nearly as much. Is that going to be the position we're going to be in this year? Just given the concern about what's behind Clifford, you know, are they going to be even more concerned about him running? Does that make them easier to predict and scheme against? And I don't think that's going to do Clifford any favors. You know, if they just really aren't, the defense is even considering him now as a running threat. So that's part of this, added concern as we're heading into this incoming season.
I am very concerned about that, and I do suspect that they're not going to run them quite as much. And I don't know if you heard our show a few weeks back now. We had a coach on who talked about Mike Yurcich's offense, scouted it, and it's Coach Nick Caduti, and he does a video on For the Bloggy. Fantastic stuff. And I asked him the very question about does he think Sean Clifford could fit what Yurcich is looking to do? And he said he thought it was a very good fit. I'm hoping that's the case. But let's look forward, because we have talked about this on the show. Sean Clifford actually has another year of eligibility beyond 21. And I don't think he's going to perform well enough to be a top draft pick. What do you think in 2022? Do you like the two recruits that are coming into the class? Do you think they could come in and play as true freshmen?
Well, I like the fact that we have two high-quality recruits coming in. I mean, like you were using the Iowa State analogy earlier, you know, the odds of hitting on one of them is better if you have two as opposed to just one. So I like that. I guess it's going to be tough to start a guy right away, but if Clifford performs the way he did last year, I'd rather give one of these younger guys a shot looking ahead to next year. I don't really see Clifford leaving to go to the NFL based on what I've seen. And if it's another subpar season, I don't see why Penn State season ticket holders like myself and other people are going to be that excited to drive all the way up there in 2022 and sit through another season with Clifford back there. I just really don't.
That I do agree with. I think we definitely need to see more from Clifford than what we saw in 2020. That is it for quarter number two of our show. We're going to hit Steve's other topic. We're going to talk coaching and James Franklin in particular when we come back in quarter number three. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.